All right, good morning. We're gonna get things started here. Thank you for coming out to my presentation on advanced tips and tricks for creating Excel visualizations. Last day of the conference, you guys had a good conference? Yeah, thanks for sticking around. I'm gonna be showing you a number of different techniques for creating visualizations in Excel. The ones I'm gonna walk you through, we've got some basic labeling techniques for charts. Show you how to create a Gantt chart, how to create reference lines and banded regions, and then we'll conclude with conditional formatting. So these, a number of these features are not what we call native capabilities within Excel. There are some steps involved. We do get the feedback, it's like, hey, you know, why do you make it so difficult to make like a banded region or reference line? That's fair feedback. We are diligently working on making these more native capabilities, so it's a one-click operation as opposed to several clicks. But for the time being, there's actually a lot of rich capabilities within Excel that you can take advantage of today that are available in many of the past versions of Excel. So with that, we'll demonstrate some of the power and flexibility that you have with those features. As I was saying, there are several steps involved with some of these features that I'll be showing you. But once you've done it, you can set these up as a template, per se, and just reuse it time and time again. So you don't have to repeat these steps. You just change the data, and it works just fine. There will be no code required. So what's nice about that is these solutions will basically run on any of our endpoints, like the web or Android or Windows Universal. They're just basic charts that I'll be creating, so they'll respond to charting events and data changes and things like that, as well as all the native capabilities that you would typically find with charts. So you can format them and interact with them just like you would a normal chart. All right, so with that, I'm going to get right into the demo. The rest of this will be primarily showing you how to construct these various features within Excel. And I'll stick around after this. I've only got about 20 minutes here, but if you have questions, please come up. Can answer those questions. I also have some swag here to give away, so please join me up front after the session. All right, so this first chart that we're going to create is a pretty basic chart. We're going to label one of these data points here. He says best product, chocolate, and profit. All right, it's a pretty basic scenario. In fact, we've introduced some functionality in Excel 2013 that makes this process a lot simpler. So let me walk you through the steps for that. After we create this chart, we're going to create a canonical scatter chart with labels on them as well. All right, so let's start with our initial data set. We're going to create a column chart. So go ahead and select the data, go to Insert, and Column Chart. All right, so what we're going to do now is select this center column here, which is the chocolate sales. We'll click, and then I'll click again to select that individual data point. I'll right-click on it, and we'll go down to Add Data Label, Add Data Callout. So this is a new feature in Excel 2013. These are called data callouts. It gives you richer capabilities for annotating your charts. So we've got chocolate and the sales of chocolate that's in there, but we want to augment this particular label a little bit more. So let's go ahead and click into that data label, and we're going to add some text at the top. So we said this is going to be our best product. And let's go ahead and format that a little bit, make it bold, and we'll make the best as bold as well. And we'll come down and take this comma out. I like colons instead. And then we're going to add profit at the end of this. So we'll go ahead and type profit. Now, I could just type profit into this field, but then it wouldn't be bound to my data. So if my data ever changed, that label wouldn't update. So we're going to do something a little bit better here. I'm going to right-click and go down to Insert Data Label Field. And then this brings up a series of options, such as the value, series, and category. I don't want any of those. I want this last item called Choose Cell. So when I click that, it brings up a dialog that allows me to pick the cell that is going to be bound to that field. And so for this case, it's chocolate. I can scan across. If the profit is 33, go ahead and select that. And now it inserts that value into this field. What's nice about that is, as I was saying before, if that value ever changes, it updates directly on the chart itself. So now I can create this dynamic labeling relationship in my charts. So let's go ahead and dress up this label a little bit more and add a little bit of formatting to it. Oops. Let's escape out of that. Double click on the label, and we'll go to our fill bucket, fill, gradient fill, and that dresses it up just a little bit more. So that's how you label a simple data point. We've got some nice functionalities in Excel 2013. So we're going to start fairly basic here, and then we'll dial up the complexity as we move into these examples. So the next one we're going to do is a scatter chart. I'm going to set this guy aside for a moment, and we're going to create a scatter chart of sales and profit. Go to Insert, Scatter Chart, and let's go ahead and put some labels on this chart. Axis titles, and this is going to be my profit, and this is going to be my sales. In this particular chart, it's ideal to be on this end of the spectrum where I have high sales and high profitability. The problem with this chart is we don't know what any of these data points are. There's not a good relationship between these and the actual table of data itself. So I want to go ahead and label those so I can more easily identify them. So I'll go ahead and select the series. I'll click on my data labels here, and that adds a default data label, but it's not terribly helpful. It's just showing the value axis, which arguably is already there, so it's not adding a lot of value. So I'm going to go to this little flyout here for more options. That brings up the Format Object Task pane. And in here, I have another option, which is value from cells. So it's very similar to the single label callout that I just did a moment ago. So I'm going to go ahead and select that guy. And once again, it brings up a dialog. Whoops. It brings up a dialog. And now I can select the products that are associated with this series. When I click OK, that'll bind them to the series and show them within the chart. I'm going to turn off my y-axis here so I can see things a little bit easier. I'll expand that out. And this is still a little bit crowded, so I'm going to click on that particular data point and drag out the label for it. And so now we can actually see which products are associated with each of the data points. All right. Okay. So we're going to increase the complexity a little bit. Now we're going to move on to creating a chart that looks something like this. This is a very clean looking chart. We've gotten rid of the grid lines. We've gotten rid of the axis. Kind of very simplistic form that would be nice to apply in a report or a presentation or things of that nature. So what we're looking at here is, for example, coffee, and it's showing the contribution of sales for the East and the West. Those are just represented by the visual colors here. And then I have an aggregate value at the top. So it's just a quick indicator as to how the performance is doing in the various territories. And I've got a label to show me the overall performance of those combined regions. So let's go ahead and create this particular chart. First, I'm going to create a stacked column chart. Insert column chart here, stacked column chart. And what I'm going to do now is add this column, which is the sum of the East and the West to this particular chart. So I'm going to select this column, I'm going to copy it, and I'm going to paste it into this chart. You'll notice that it added it directly to the chart. So this is a very quick way of adding additional series to your particular chart. Now that I've got this series on here, what we refer to this series as a phantom series. So we're not actually going to use it like a normal traditional series. We're just using it to draw other things on the chart or place other data on the chart. So I'm going to go ahead and select the gray series here, and I'm going to add data labels to it because this reflects the actual dollar values of some of these. And then I'm going to format this a little bit better so that it actually looks like dollars. I'm going to apply that. And the next thing I'm going to do is change the position of these labels. So right now it's in the center. What I'd like is it for it to be in kind of the base of the chart. So I'm going to go ahead and use my flyout here and set the position to inside base. All right, so let's stretch this up so you can see things a little bit better now. All right, now I'm going to use a technique that is actually pretty common for these types of operations. This, as I said before, is a phantom series. I don't actually want these gray bars to be appearing on my chart. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to select the series and go to my format options here in the paint bucket, and I'm going to go to no fill. So effectively what that's doing is it's hiding that series. It's no longer in the view, but I can use it for purposes of positioning a data label with respect to other data points. Now that I've got that complete, I can begin to clean up my chart. For right now, I'm just going to get rid of this chart title, delete that. I will get rid of the grid lines, and they've got a lot of white space up here, so I'm going to adjust my value axis. We'll double click on this guy, bring up my axis properties, and I'm going to dial it down to, let's say, 1200, so it stretches out the bars a little bit more. Now that I've done that, I can actually get rid of this value axis, clean that up a little bit more, and the last thing I want to do is get rid of this phantom series, this sum value. So I'm going to click on the legend, click again on that data label or the data reference in the legend, and delete that guy as well. So there you have it, a nice clean looking chart. You can use this for presentations and reports. Got rid of all the other miscellaneous parts of it so that it's just focusing on the data itself. Next up we're going to do is create a Gantt chart. So this is the chart that we're going to create. This one's a little bit more complex than the ones that I showed previously. It's a very useful chart for like project management, making sure things are falling in line in the right time frames. This one, I could start out by just creating a chart and then manipulating the various series and moving them around, stuff like that. However, it's going to create kind of a mess of a chart. So I'm actually going to start with a blank chart and build it up series by series because I can have a little bit greater control and it'll actually make a little bit more sense as I work through the steps. So first thing I'm going to do is create a blank chart. So go up to Insert. We're going to create a stacked bar chart. Oops, I don't want to select the data. That was what I was just saying would create kind of a mess of a chart. Go up and create a stacked bar chart. So we have a blank chart here. Now we're going to incrementally add series to this chart to build it up. Need to go up to my Select Data dialog within the Design tab of Chart Tools. And this will allow me to add individual series. So the first thing I'm going to do is add, click this add button here. It brings up a dialog that allows me to enter the series name. The first thing we're going to do here is add the duration. So we're putting a reference to that. And then we're going to put in the series values. So I simply select this range of values here. And you can begin, you can see that the chart is starting to take shape. We've got the duration in there. Next thing we're going to do is add the start date. So once again, I'm going to click the add button, click on the series name, and then I'm going to put in the range for the values for the start date. So it's these guys here. Okay, so we got something funny going on here where the start date is obscuring the actual duration. We can fix that by changing the Z order of these. So I've got start date selected. I simply move that back in the Z order, and now you can see that the duration shows up. So it's just a more of a Z order alignment there. So that's looking pretty good. Now what I want to do is clean up the labels here. If you don't put labels in, it'll automatically put labels as a series of one through whatever. So we actually want the task names to appear on the sides of the bars. So that's the category axis, which you can see here on the right. So I'll go click and click on the edit button. That brings up our dialog again. And from here, I can select the range of values for my category axis. You can see those got filled in nicely with that. But we have a slight problem here. As you can see, we've got customer satisfaction at the top, and that's at the bottom in our table. A lot of times you'll want a one-to-one correspondence with your table and your chart. So what we want to do is want to flip those around. So what I'm going to do is double-click on the category axis, and that brings up my formatting task pane. And there's an option under Axis Options that allows me to reverse the order of my categories. So I'll go ahead and click on that guy, and now we have customer research at the top, just like we have in the table of data. All right, things are looking a little bit better now. I'm going to stretch this out so you can see the dates a little bit easier. You can see, all right, what I ideally would like is to have the start of this Gantt chart be the actual start date of my first item in the list, which is 1-1-2016. You see, we started with a kind of a funny date because I started this chart from scratch. So what we want to do is fix that. Go ahead and double-click on this date axis here, and then again, that brings up the Format Object Task Pane. From here, I want to change the units to be 7 days a week, so it complies with a normal work week. It'd be great if there were 10 days in a week, but we only have 7. Next, I want the actual value here. I want this to actually start on 1-1-2016 as opposed to 12-12. So to do that, I need to change the minimum value of my bounds. As you can see, there's kind of a funny-looking number in here. That number represents the number of days since January of 1900. Now we could do the calculation to figure out what this date would be in days, but there's actually a much easier way to do that, and that's simply to type it in. So we'll go 1-1-16, hit return, and that automatically does the conversion under the covers, and you can see that that applied it here. Arguably, this is not very intuitive. This is something that we've gotten feedback on and we will be fixing in future releases. This is a tips and tricks presentation, so for the time being, you now know the trick, so you can use that at your disposal. Okay, wonderful. Now, we've got a Gantt chart starting to look a lot more like a Gantt chart, except we've got these orange bars in our view. The technique we showed earlier of getting rid of those phantom series, we can apply to these orange bars as well. So let's go ahead and select that series, go to my paint bucket here, and then go to No Fill. And now we have a much more common looking Gantt chart than we had before. What's great about this is if any of these values ever change, like the start, the duration of customer research, that updates directly in the chart. And you can use this as a template in any one of your projects. All right, moving on to the next one. Reference lines and banded regions. These are very useful in situations where you want to show if you're meeting target goals. So let's say you had a manufacturing process and you were measuring the part weights coming off the assembly line. Or maybe you had a sales process and you had certain target bounds of, you know, this is okay but not great. This is the target range in the middle and this is in the red zone, okay? You start off with reference lines, which give you the targets, and you have banded regions to give you an indication as to how well you're doing within the metrics that you'd set up. So let me show you how to actually create these. It's actually pretty straightforward once you get the hang of it. There are a few tricks along the way. So here's our original data set. I'm going to start off with creating a line chart with this part weight recording. So we're going to insert and line chart. Okay, expand that out a little bit. Now, I showed you a technique earlier of how to add series to the chart very quickly. I could do this like I did with the Gantt chart. I could go in and individually add the series one by one. That certainly will work, but it's a little bit more time consuming. The quicker way is to simply select the column, copy it, and paste it directly into the chart. So that's our first reference line. That's our lower bound. I can do the same thing with the target. Go ahead and copy it and paste it into the chart, and then we'll do the upper bound as well. All right, we now have our three reference lines. The next step is to put in those colored bands. This one is a little bit, you know, not terribly intuitive, but again, once you get the hang of it, it's not so difficult. I'm going to select the reference line. And again, these are what we refer to as the phantom series. They're actually series in the chart, but they're being used for purposes other than traditional series. We're just drawing a line in this particular case, so we can control that line through our data. So I'm going to select this lower bound series, and I'm going to add error bars to it. Now, you can't see the error bars because they're very tiny relative to the scale that we're currently using. I'll increase them here in a moment. But the error bars allow us to actually fill in a space and show a region for it. So to do that, I'm going to hit this flyout here and go to More Options. And for this particular error bar, it's on the lower one, so I want the bars, oops, we'll get back to this. Error bars, More Options. We want the bars to be pointed in the negative direction. So we'll go minus on this. We don't need a cap, and we're going to have a fixed value, a height of these, of 20. That was the range that we wanted for our particular margin of error on this manufacturing process. So you can see the error bars start to show up. They're too skinny, however, so I'm going to go over to our paint bucket here, and I'm going to change them to solid. I'm going to change the color to yellow, somewhat in the danger zone, and I'm going to change the width to 20 so they actually take up a full amount of space. So that's our first band. This line is a little heavy for my taste, so I'm going to dial him back a little bit more so it reflects more of a reference line. So we'll click on solid line and we'll give them a little charcoal look and dial down the thickness to 0.5. So it's a nice subtle line to demarcate that transition from the danger zone into the green zone. Next up, we're going to do the middle band. So I'll go ahead and select this middle reference line again. We're going to go to error bars. We'll apply those. Go to more options. In this particular case, I want the error bars to go both positive and negative, so we'll have both. I don't need an end cap, and I'll have a fixed value of, once again, 20, going in the positive and negative direction. As you can see, that takes up the space. However, I want to create a band out of this, so I'm going to go to the Format Tools, Solid Line. This is in the best zone, so I'm going to make that green, and I'm going to expand the width of these to 20. So now we have a nice fat band in the middle. I'm going to dial this back. I don't like that line, so I'm going to go with no line for the middle one. The last step here is we're going to do the upper bound. Same process we did before. We're going to put on error bars, change the position so that it's going in the positive direction. So this is plus, no cap, fixed value of 20. And then I'm going to change the formatting so it actually takes up some space. This is in the red zone, so I actually don't like these. These are too intense red, so I'm going to go to more colors. We'll go to something a little bit fainter. Terms of red, and we'll dial up the intensity one more time. And then we're going to dial back the thickness of this line to something a little bit more modest. go 0.5. All right, so there you have it, banded regions and reference lines. This is all controllable by the data, so if your targets ever change, you can adjust those accordingly, and you can see how your data fits into that in a nice way. All right, last thing up we're going to do is conditional formatting. This is one of the more complex techniques that I'm going to show you. The idea behind this is I want to show two dimensions of data on the chart. Typically, with a column chart, you're showing one dimension of the data. That's the value axis. And I'm showing sales on that value axis. But I want to use color to convey the profitability of each one of those products. This is a very useful technique with visualizations because certain things start to pop out a little bit more. So, for example, chocolate has high sales and also high profitability, as you can see from my color scale here. However, syrup has high sales and low profitability. This could be a problem area that I might want to check into. It's one of the benefits of showing multiple dimensions on the visualization. This one, as I was saying before, is a little bit more involved. We are working on plans to make this a more native feature. For the time being, let me show you the technique for creating this with the current capabilities in the product. So, for time's sake, I've set up this in advance to give you kind of a kickstart as to the structure of the table and the ranges that we're going to be using. Normally, you'd just be starting off with your actual values here. So let me go and create our initial chart, which is just product and sales. This is going to be a plain vanilla column chart. We'll drop that into the page. Now, with series, you only can have one color for a given series. The trick here is we need to take a single series and split that into five different buckets, which means I have five different series and I can control the color of each one of those series independent of one another. That's the basic technique that I'm going to show you here. So effectively what I want to do is put values into each one of these buckets. So I've labeled them 0 to 100, 101 to 200, and so on and so forth up to 401 to 500. So we want our sales to land in one of those buckets. We'll use this range here as our values for the chart. Okay, so to make that happen, I need to use a formula. This is the formula I'm going to use, and I'll break it down for you. So let's go ahead and select this guy. I'm going to copy him and paste them into this first series here. And let's go ahead and show the formula bar so I can illustrate this a little bit better. Okay, so I'll work from the outside in. This is an if statement, and what it's saying is if this expression right here, which I'll explain in a moment, if this expression is true, then it's going to put the value of B4, so B4, which is the sales, into this cell. If it is not true, it's just going to put a blank value in there. That's all it's saying. Now, this expression is a little bit more complicated. What this is doing is it's saying these two conditions have to be true. This expression and this expression for this thing to return a true value. If it's not, it'll return false. That's what this AND operator is doing. So effectively what we're doing is saying, all right, D1, which is this guy, is D1 less than C4, which is the profit? If it is, great, that's the first true statement. Then we're going to check to see if C4, which is the upper bound for this bucket that we've defined, is that less than or equal to D2, which is the profit once again. And if it is, great, both are true, then it would apply. In this particular case, this is not true. 250 does not fall between those, so it's just a blank value that will appear there. However, this guy here, the soda, the $50, does fall between 0 and 100, so it is putting the 300 in that cell. So that's the first column. Now what I want to do is fill those to the right. Oops, get this situated. All right, so now we filled in all of those, and we have the value showing up for the sales. We have one value per row for each one of these. So effectively what we're doing now is splitting a single series into five series. Let me format these as dollars so it looks a little bit nicer on our chart. Okay. The next step is one of the more critical steps, and that is I need to change the data binding of my chart from the single range here to multiple columns. To do that, I select the chart, and you can see that these colored bars here define the data binding of the chart. Here are the labels in the category axis. Here are the values that are showing up in the value axis. I now need to move this to the columns D through H. To do that, I have to hover over the first right-hand edge here, and you can see the crosshairs turns into this kind of pointer thingy. I need to drag that to the first column here. And now by doing so, I've now changed the data binding of the chart to column D. And you can see only these values are showing up in column D. I can now control the coloring of those independent of others. After doing that, I need to expand the range to encompass the rest of the columns. To do that, if you hover over this little corner here, you can see the arrow, slanted arrow. If I grab that and drag him across, that expands the range of the chart to all of those columns. And as you can see in the data set, we now have 5 different colors representing our chart. Okay. To make this a little more obvious, we can now turn on a legend. Let's move this over a little bit more. Turn on our legend. You can see those are the bands that we set up previously in our table. Now what I want to do is make this a little bit nicer to look at. So I'm going to format these bars and change the series overlap. I'll increase that, decrease the width so it looks more like a traditional column chart. Okay. And now what I'd like to do is change the formatting. These multicolored bars sometimes don't look the greatest, so I'm going to change it to a more of a monochromatic style so it looks a little more pleasing to the eye. And then from here I can put on some text to label my legend to indicate that those are actually representing the profit of the particular sales as opposed to the actual sales values themselves. So there you have it. Number of different steps for creating some more advanced visualizations in Excel. I'd be happy to take any questions. Sure. This is available, this is pretty much supported in all versions all the way back to 2007, with the exception of the very first example which I showed of the data point labeling. This was a new feature, the data labels was a new feature we added in 2013, but all the other features are available pretty much as far back as you can remember. This particular example, oh, thank you for reminding me. In the slide deck, I've called out all of these examples and put in the steps for each of them. So you don't have to remember any of this. You can kind of sit back and go through those steps individually. Okay? All right. Other questions? The Excel file is not, but the data sets are very simple. You should be able to reproduce those. If, however, you want the data set, I'm very happy to email it to you. Just stop back. Give me your business card, and I can send that to you. Do I do any other videos around tips and tricks like this? If you want them, I'm happy to produce them. This one will be recorded, so you can go to the Ignite site. But if there's other tips and tricks you want to see, send me mail. I'd love to hear about that, and we'd be happy to put together a whole series of these. So was there a question over here? Yeah. Yeah, so does Microsoft post these in a common place where you can go to look these up? We now have started an Excel community that you can go to, and we're posting a lot of our training materials to that site. And I'm also giving another presentation at 11:30 today on our new visualization types in Excel. I encourage you to come to join me in that, where I'll be talking about some more of this training on the new visualization types. Okay? Other questions? Sure. Is it possible to change the color of the color of the bar based on its height? Absolutely, because in this calculation I'm doing here, this is all just formulas. So I can change this to whatever I want, and I can change the formula to whatever I want, so I can control that color however I want. Okay? Does that answer your question? Yep. Ah, I see what you're saying. So you want to conditionally format the bar for things that are above the line versus below the line. That's a little bit more involved than what I showed you here. If you join me afterwards, I can then talk you through how to actually do that. I also have some swag up here for anybody who wants to collect some goodies. Thank you for your time.